Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Today we will examine chapter 41 of the Book of Job, which seamlessly continues the description of the Leviathan begun in the previous chapter. Like the behemoth, this mysterious sea monster is noted for its enormous size and power. But unlike that herbivorous, land-based beast that poses no threat to neighboring animals, the Leviathan poses cruel danger to all who approach. Thus this chapter begins, "Hen tochalto nichzava hagam el mer'av yutal. Lo achzar ki yi'urenu umihu lefanai yityatzav." Any hope of subduing it is false. The mere sight of it is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse it. Who then can stand against me? Ibn Ezra explains that the phrase Hagam el Mar'av Yutal indicates that a mere glimpse of this monster is enough to strike down anyone. It would seem that these verses are meant to strike terror into the heart of the man who dares confront God, as the voice out of the whirlwind continues. Mi higdimani v'ashalem, tachat kol hashamayim lihu. Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Nevertheless, Eov remains standing, waiting for an explanation from his creator, who deigns to appear and reveal some of the mysteries of his ways. The reptilian creature lives in the depths of the oceans, in the amoral, cold realm where might makes right, where the big fish swallow the small ones, and the smaller organisms survive only through increased fertility. There is no chesed v'rachamim in the depths, only the survival of the fittest, where the Leviathan reigns supreme. Mi gila pnei levusho, bechefel risno mi yavo, dalte panav mi piteach, svivot shinav eima, geava afike maginim, sagur chotam tzar. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armor? Who dares open the doors of its mouth, ringed about with fearsome teeth? Its back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Like the mythic dragon, the Leviathan's eyes light up the skies. Its breath heats the air, and flames shoot from its mouth. Ati shotav tahel o, ve'enav ke'afapei shachar, mipiv lapidim yihalochu, ki yidodei esh yitmaltu, minichirav yetze ashan, kedud nafuach ve'agmon. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as from a boiling pot over burning reeds. The Leviathan terrorizes the weak and the strong. It is invincible, protected by armors, scales that shield it from the sharpest weapons. Miseto yaguru elim, משברים יתחתאו, מסיגהו חרב בלי תקום, חנית מסע ושיריה, יחשוב לתבן ברזל, לעץ ריקבון נחושה. When it rises, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before its thrashing. The sword that reaches it has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. It treats iron like straw and bronze like rotten wood. The Leviathan roils the seas, and as it races across the waves, the air above it is windswept, and the ocean floor is revealed in its wake. Yartiach kasir metzula, yam yasim kemerkacha. Acharav yair nativ, yachshof tehom leseva. It makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron, and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. It leaves a glistening wake behind it. One would think the deep had white hair. There is no creature on land to rival the Leviathan for its power and brutality. Ein al afar mashlo, ha'asui levilticht. Et kol gavoha yireh, hu melech al kol bnei shachatz. Nothing on earth is its equal, a creature without fear. It looks down on all that are haughty. It is king over all that are proud. And so the description ends and closes the chapter. Are the behemoth and leviathan creatures found in the natural world? What do these monsters represent? And more pointedly, what is the message that Hashem conveys by describing these powerful beasts? Many scholars and religious commentaries invested their intellectual prowess in trying to identify the terrestrial behemoth and the aquatic or amphibian Leviathan. Rabbi Dr. Yehudah Felix, the renowned biblical zoologist, surmised that the behemoth is none other than the hippopotamus, and the leviathan is the giant crocodile, both of which figure largely in Egyptian mythology as fearsome gods that need to be appeased. However, this sefer describes that behemoth as a large but benign herbivore, while the hippopotamus is known to be quite an aggressive omnivore who attacks animals and humans that encroach on its territory. It will eat the flesh of other animals as well as rival hippos. The description of the physique of the leviathan might match that of an oversized crocodile. However, the crocodile does not live in the oceans. It seems to resemble instead a monster that is a cross between the mythic dragon and the Loch Ness monster. Others suggest that both creatures are allegorical symbols of God's mysterious powers embedded in the creation of matter. You may recall the opening of Bereshit, which indicates that it was only Hashem who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. But immediately thereafter, the Torah records, ve'ha'aretz hayta tohu vavohu, ve'choshech al pnei tehom, ve'ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim. Before delineating the order in which our universe was formed before time, God initially created matter out of nothingness. Ramban explains that God created prime matter and forms, as signified by tohu vavohu, the building blocks from which all physical objects and then all organisms were formed and set in motion. Kli Yakar explains that these two verses of the Torah teach us that everything in our universe is designed to revert to the default, to the primordial chaos, and ultimately to decompose to the original shapeless elements from which they were formed. They will decompose unless they are held together by the life force, which is Ruach Elokim, the divine spirit of God, which was infused in the matter. That spirit is termed Tov, good, and in its absence is Ra, which literally means falling apart. In physics, this is known as entropy and is described in the second law of thermodynamics, which explains the inevitable process by which all matter and physical systems ultimately disintegrate into random chaos. The Leviathan and Behemoth, accordingly, represent opposing cosmic forces, creation and destruction, reproduction and dying, life-giving and dark death, which Hashem infused into the world that He alone created. In the words of Yeshayahu in chapter 45, Leman yidu mi mizrach shemesh umi ma'arava, ki efes biladai, ani Hashem ve'en od, yotzer or uvore choshech, ose shalom uvore ra, ani Hashem ose kol eile. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am Hashem and there is no one else. I form the light and I create the darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I am Hashem that does all these things. Malbim explains, Ruach Elokim hu hachut hagadol hachorez kol hapninim haele. והנפש המחיה כל הפגרים המתים. The spirit of Hashem is the string that holds all the pearls together and brings to life all of the inert bodies. In the absence of Ruach Elokim, there is nothing but chaos, darkness, and destruction. Hashem shares these mysteries with Iov, and in so doing forges a new relationship which is no longer characteristic of master and slave. Instead, Hashem is inviting Iov to be a partner in maintaining and cultivating this world into the Gan Eden it was meant to be, by doing good, by bringing in the Tov, not for reward, not out of fear of punishment, but out of unconditional love, and thereby proving that a human being can indeed imitate his creator, in whose image he was formed. In so doing, a human being can vanquish brute strength, the behemoth, and cruel power, the Leviathan. Those forces seem to dominate not only the natural world, but sadly also human civilization. And they also infuse the individual's mind and body. But they can be overcome by free choice, as indicated in Sefer Dvarim in the 30th chapter, the 19th verse. Re'eh! Natati lefanecha hayom et hachayim ve'et hatov, ve'et hamavet ve'et hara. Look, I set before you today life and the good, and death and the evil. Thus the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah reinterpreted the third verse of this chapter in Iov, and explains as follows, when Hashem says, Mi hikdimani va'ashalem, tachat kol hashamayim lihu, who came before me that I must pay him? All of the heavens and everything underneath it is mine. Said Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, whoever selflessly worships and obeys Hashem, and joins with God in being benevolent and loving, expecting no reward, is repaid more than a human being can imagine, for everything under the heavens is mine. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel, Bat Aryeh Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.